Take me by my arm. Tomorrow we are Canaan bound. We're westward sails the golden sun, and Hebron's hills are amber crowned. So bid your troubled heart be still. The grass, they say, is soft and green. The trees are tall and honey-filled. So Sarah, come and walk with me. Like the stars across the heavens flow, like the grains of sand on many suns. Oh, Sarah, fair and barren one, come to Canaan, come. I trembled at the voice of God, a voice of love and thunder deep. With love he came to save us all, and love has chosen you. Our tale be sung. How faith compelled and bore us on. How barren Sarah bore a son. So come to Canaan, come. Where westward sails the sun, and Hebron's hills are amber crowned. Oh, Sarah, take me by my arms. Tomorrow we are Canaan
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Welcome. My name is Michael Rawls. I am the pastor here at Good Shepherd. And it is my privilege to host you today as we honor the work of God through Ted Strawbridge. I had a unique knowledge of Ted in that I first met Ted when he was merely my girlfriend's uncle. Later, he became my uncle-in-law, which in most families means nothing. In this one, you get a house full of people on a Friday night and they call the cops. Later, I knew him as my boss. And then I knew him as a fellow elder and a co-laborer in the work of Christ. I knew him as my shepherd, my pastor. I knew him as my employee. It was a joke, yes. I knew him as my friend, and I loved him. One of the things I get to do here as the role that I got to take from Ted was I get to teach chapel from kids at this school, from seniors in high school all the way down to three-year-olds. And as I teach them, I try and remind them the things that Ted taught us, the things that, obviously, the Bible teaches us. Quite simply, I try and remind them day in and day out what God is up to in this world. That he's not simply here to save your soul and get you out of here and floating on a cloud somewhere, but that Christ came to redeem all things. And that everything on this earth he looks at and he says, this is mine and I'm here to take it back. It's what Ted taught us. One of the things I learned from Ted was to value work. Not to be a workaholic, but to see the beauty that God gives us in every occupation we have. A friend of mine said to me this week, Ted's church was the first church I ever attended to where I wasn't ashamed to tell people what my job was. You got to ask yourself, what job was it, right? What job would you be ashamed to tell other Christians you do? What job would you know Ted would tell you God values deeply and teach you to love it and enjoy it for the glory of God? That's why we're here. We're here to honor Ted, but we are here to honor the work of God through Ted. We're here to recognize that through Ted, Christ's kingdom was coming on this earth and is here. As Ted would say, it's not about floating off, but it's about these trees, these buildings, these roads, these bodies. You are one simple little taste of the kingdom of God coming, because of the work God did through Ted. We're here to celebrate that today. Another reason we're here is just to simply remind you that you are loved. It's amazing how many people I talk to, and that's one of the first things they've said, is either Ted loved you, or I knew Ted loved me. And at the same time, he'd hang up on a phone call quicker than you could imagine. You have a bulletin that will guide you through our service. You see, we have a number of people who are going to share stories. We're going to sing songs that Ted loved and songs that remind us. It's hard to pick all the songs that Ted loved that talked about glory. You're going to get to hear from some of the folks who have helped to lead worship here at Good Shepherd through Ted's time. Our goal, again, is to honor Christ and the work that he did here and continues to do through you. After the service, we're going to have a graveside burial service. As the family exits over here, we're going to invite you all to follow us. We're going to bury Ted here on site, on campus. The family's going to get in cars, and they're going to follow the hearse out west, and we're going to lead you as we walk. And I'll go ahead and tell you, it's about a five-minute walk. If you're in not that good a shape, you can call it a 10-minute walk. We're going to keep you close to the tree side so you can stay shaded, and there'll be waters out there. But we want to invite anybody who would like to be out there to join us. Literally out in the middle of a field, or as Mary Lou said, in a corner where Ted should go. We got him a beautiful little corner. He's going to feel the rumble of tractors. He's going to love it. If you do not want to go to the burial, we do ask at the conclusion of the service that if you make your way either to the lobby or outside by the picnic tables while we transform this room into a reception hall, where we'd love for you to stay and share in some of Ted's favorite meals, long list of them, and share stories and celebrate the life of Ted Strawbridge. Again, all of that is done in recognition that it is God who is at work. Every good thing that you tasted because of Ted was not just because of Ted. And whether he'd let you believe it or not, it wasn't just because his dad was amazing. It's because God transformed his life. And God shared that with you through Ted. If you would, as you're able, would you stand and hear and respond to our call to worship from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen. Would you pray with me? A God of all comfort, we ask that you would come and dwell among us now. We ask that because you promise it. We know that those who draw near to you, you come near to. Father, we need Holy Spirit, our comforter, to come to let us remember our dear brother Ted. Remember the ways that you used him and celebrate those things. God, we ask that as you comfort, you would also spur us on, that we might challenge one another to go further up and further in into your heart, that we might see your kingdom come, that those here today would hear your good news proclaimed as Ted did all of his life, and that we would respond, that each and every one of us would leave here as heralds of your gospel. Holy Spirit, bring us comfort. In Christ's name, amen.
My name is Lord Lyle. I was the first music director. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who could have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Yeah, rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. Hearts always hunger for. Oh yes, our hearts always hunger for. Counselor, comfort and keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts hopelessly lost our way. Oh, hopelessly lost the way. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and strength our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Lord, Michael, thanks for that introduction. Mary, how long were you married to Ted? You did a great job. Mary said that she has been married to Ted for 38 years, and that means we have slept with Ted for 50. I had the first 12. They were the hardest. But when it dawned on me on their 12th anniversary that Mary was going where no person had ever gone before, I felt like I ought to call her. I am so glad you're here. When I meet with people in Lakeland, and I can't imagine that this is being recorded. It is being recorded against my will. When I offend you, do not think of meeting with me afterward to talk to me about it. I do not care. It will not matter. Oh, let me introduce myself. I apologize. I am Timo of Ted and Timo. I am his gargantuan, mutant, 6'10", 400-pound little brother. How many people here have heard his Maggie Valley last sermon? Okay. Most of what I'm going to say is a response to that sermon, but you're used to hearing Ted and not really knowing what's going on, so it won't make that big a deal. But if you go back and listen to the sermon, you will be shocked at how fluid he is. And one point builds on another point, builds on another point. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You're saying, take him home, Lord, and he does. I cannot believe that Michael mocked Ted's favorite person in the whole world, Dad. But he will pay for that because Ted is in heaven. My father would say, if you're not laughing at yourself, you're missing most of the good jokes. And then he would say, if you have not helped somebody laugh, you have not helped them as much as you thought you did. I am going to help you today. I have heard this talk 3 times, and the first 3 were pretty good. I'm not sure what will happen to you, but what day was that? There we go. When I meet with people back home, what I say is, I'm happy to share with you my thoughts, happy to share with you my heart, as long as you promise not to do anything I say. Because our goal here today is for you to listen to Holy Spirit and hear what Holy Spirit has for you. And He has something for you. When you listen to that sermon that you have not listened to yet, you will hear that Ted says Strawbridges are weird about death. They do death weird. My offering and a theme to you will be, if you want to do death weird, then you got to do life weird. And I am going to let you in on conversations that have never been heard for, spoken of by anyone ever between Ted and I. Because we did life weird. One of the things you have to do in life, if you're going to do life weird, is you're going to have to talk to yourself. You're going to have to develop ways in which you talk to yourself. So for me, the phrases that I use and the places that I go are deeply, deeply embedded in the power of my father on my life. And my father would sit down with Ted and I and say, "Boys, a man, a real man." And then he'd begin to talk to us about what a Christian man did, how he lived, how he thought. So before I open the Bible, I speak to myself. And I say these things. And so on Saturday morning, I don't know what y'all did on Saturday morning. Think of what you were doing last Saturday morning. Way to go, Joey. You know what I was doing last Saturday morning, Joey? I was getting my brother to heaven. And that's an exciting thing because that's where Ted and I have been trying to get since the summer of 1966. But I was sitting in my prayer shed. It's a prayer shed, and that's where I go on Saturday morning, and my wife lets me go out there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I can stay out there till 11. And in the prayer shed, I'm in a prayer shed because my grandfather was a farmer and my dad was a builder, and I am their grandson and son, and that is where my tools are. I don't know how to use the tools. I don't use the tools, but I sit with tools around me because that's what my heritage is. So I'm out there, and before I open my Bible, I say this to myself. A man, a real man, reads God's word every day. A man, a real man, loves the God whose words they are. A man, a real man. I don't know what he said to women. I don't know what my dad said to my sisters. He didn't say this, though. A man, a real man, holds himself 100% responsible to obey everything that is written in it. A man, a real man, obeys God's word whether anyone else does or not. A man, a real man, understands that the eternal destination of the souls under his care depend on his response to that word that day. A man, a real man, loves that he has to depend on God for all things. A man, a real man, does all of his life through prayer. And last, a man, a real man, reads and prays with his family, his friends, and his enemies. And then what I do is I work on a passion for the week. I read every Saturday morning, I read the pastor's sermon because you can't trust them to get much out of it, really. So sometimes it helps you do a little mining work before you go in there. You can get some momentum and help him along. So I read the pastor's sermon, and then I come up with a POW, a passion for the week. POW, passion for the week. Jesus had a passion for the week. It's the week of Christ. The week he goes to the cross. I said, he had one that week. I bet he had one every week. So I'm going to pick up one every week. And then I had a song for the week. I get a passion for the week and a song for the week. And my passion for the week this week came out of the Psalms. May those who love your salvation say, "Great is the Lord." And then this great next line, "And as for me, I am poor and needy." I loved it. I just loved it. Because the greater I grow in how dumb I am, I'm just a big doofus, the greater God is. The more I understand of my weakness, the more I understand of his greatness. And the greater the distance, the greater the glory. I'm just locked in. But then in the next psalm, I read this weird kind of a verse, and I didn't like it that much. So I looked down in the ESV, and I looked down, and it had one of those numbers on it, and you have to go here, because however they translate, they don't want to tell you what it really is, so they can keep a job and say in the Greek it says this. It's all a scam. And it says this. And I can only come up with one a week. One a week. Got to have one a week. A lot of great things in there. Got to pick one a week. It says this. I am bold in my soul with your strength. I am bold in my soul with your strength. You're going to do death weird. You got to do life weird. If you're not doing life weird, then you ain't going to have fun in your death. So that set me for the week. I didn't know why I had this second thing floating around out there. I never have second thing floating around out there. It's just not good for my thinking and my prayer life, and I get all discombobulated. And then I get a phone call from my brother Rick. About 2:30 on Saturday, and he's angry. That's not odd for him when he calls me. I do a lot of disappointing things. And he can see a lot of good that I haven't gotten done. And God has placed him in this world to talk to me about it. And he says, Ted drowned. I said, what? Ted drowned. And then he goes on and goes into the details. Now, when you do life weird, humor doesn't wait. I can't tell you that I waited 6 weeks before I thought about this. While he's talking, I thought, we can't drown. Do you see that? Ted and Timo. We can't drown. We're 80% cork. You get that? 2 weeks ago, Ted said he was going to jump off the boat. I said, if I jumped off your boat, I wouldn't get all the way in the water. I would bounce back onto your boat. We're fat. I said, Ted, if it becomes an Olympic competition, we're in. So then I thought, he's still talking about how angry he is. Ted should have been more thoughtful, whatever, and telling the story and all this kind of stuff. And I think one of those rich people in Chattanooga killed him. And then I thought, no, one of those little church planters that doesn't have the skill to be a church planter, doesn't even know how to church plant, came back and killed him. But I was happy for him. That's doing life weird. Right? That's the wonder of what it means to be a Christian. Ted is where we want to go. Right? Now, again, Ted and I've said this to him every time I go and there's crying and all that stuff. I get it. Listen, in Psalms it says, happy is he at the death of his saints. God is happy. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Ted is happy. And then it says, and we mourn. Very sad. With hope. Once you throw hope in mourning, it ain't mourning. It's hope. Y'all don't believe it. It's like being sad for your best friend that's a virgin on their honeymoon night. No one says, I'm so sad. Oh, he's getting laid for the first time. Oh, terrible. Don't talk to me about that. Don't ever come up. Don't say that was inappropriate. I'm not saying this to someone in Seattle. I'm not saying this story to someone in New York City. I'm saying this story to my friends in Ocala. Be excited. 1966, the summer of 1966, our hero, our brother Rick, sits down with Ted and I and tells us about Jesus. Death was solved that moment for us forever. Ted is a child of God, and he was in that moment, and he is not more a child of God now than he was then, and he won't be more a child of God in 2 billion years. And Rick looked at us and said, do you want to pray to receive Christ? I didn't know what the answer was. I looked at Ted. Ted said yes. I said yes. And we're in. Now, every single Sunday after that, I don't know where y'all do, and I don't know what y'all do. Every single Sunday after that, we sing about death. We sing about it. I ain't scared of it. I sing at it. Do you get that? Right? Remember, hope and mourning. Right? Death is defeated. It's the only thing Ted and I ever won. But we beat that. Right? You gotta be weird. You gotta live weird, but you gotta be weird. And you gotta be weird, I'm telling you today, right now. If he can save Ted and I, you are no hill for a climber. He is a savior. Now, death and mourning. I spent a year in Chattanooga this week. Because like y'all, I didn't know what Ted had been doing. And I found out. The greatest part, again, you got to live weird. They had a memorial service. There were 300 people. There were 400 people. Funnest part for me, there were 550 chairs. And I took a picture of the 150 chairs that no one was sitting in so Ted could see them, and I sent them to him on his phone. And then I realized when I sat down, he was dead. I said, Ted's going to love this. People didn't show up to his memorial. It's the best. Great is the Lord. And as for me, I am poor and needy. I was really scrambling while I was up there to try to figure out what I was seeing, what I was experiencing. And my backup, David Lancaster. So anybody that picks on me today, David has a microphone this afternoon, and he will help me. Thank you. So David called me and he said, I want to tell you about your brother. I said, hit it. And it was amazing. Everyone yells at me, so don't worry. He yells into the phone, if you were in trouble, Ted was there. If you were in trouble, Ted was there. He said, as a matter of fact, when other people started to leave, that's when Ted was coming in. The power of presence. And then he said, your brother had one talent. One, and then he just yelled, one God-given talent. Now, you know, I know you're not thinking it's preaching. It ain't singing, you know. One God-given talent to show up. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Well, I want to tell you about a talent he didn't have. He did not have. I got invited, or no, I was up there. And Vince had offered to paint the basement of the Cliff House. They call it a lake house. It's on a cliff. Close your eyes and think of the Grand Canyon. Walk to the edge, look down, and about 100 yards down there, stick a house, and that's where their house is, their lake house was, or is, their lake house is. I'm standing in there. I could not have more fun. They hired the people that make the Olympic ski jump. That guy did their driveway. Ted bought a house at the end of a ski jump. I'm standing there looking down at the boat shed, and I can't stand. I'm looking for the gondola. I don't know how I would get back up from there. So that's what happened. Ted's down there, and the boat's going away, and it's his only chance to get back home. So he just starts to swim for it because he's not going to walk up that cliff. And then I'm standing on the back porch and I think, I don't know where Ted lost it. I don't know what happened to Mary Lou. I don't know, really, that they don't know how to be rich. I don't know if Ocala people don't know how to be rich, or he didn't know how to be rich in Chattanooga. Listen, if you are rich here today, buy nice stuff. Poor people cannot learn how to work through the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, if y'all don't buy stuff that I want. Like, Valeni knows how to do it. He's a lawyer with a truck. He bought a nice truck. I drive a 2004 Sequoia. It's perfect. We know how to do it in Lakeland. I just want to encourage you, just to put that back in your mind. If you're going to live weird as a wealthy person, buy nice stuff for the poor people so we can want it. If you're going to live weird, your brother is going to do funerals in your hometown. And when he does, the last five, he talked about me in my underwear. Last five funerals he did, he talked about me in my underwear. And he's really concerned. He sat down with Mary and he said, Mary, I'm thinking of telling this story at Grandmommy's funeral. And Mary said, no. He calls me, hey, got any good stories? I'm going to tell a story at Grandmommy's funeral. I told one to Mary Lou. She nixed it. I said, I don't know. He tells a story about me being initiated in the Leo Club, standing in my underwear, having just poured a chocolate shake down my crotch, singing in front of Mary Lou's mother, and how cool she was that she met me. Great, great story, fun, right? All kinds of fun. We're living weird. So I meet with him to talk about how this living weird works, and I said, hey, just Ted and I in a conversation, no one's ever heard this. I said, you and Rick seem to be really concerned about how your wives are going to react to things you do. Well, yeah, it's called being a husband. I said, okay, have you ever thought of checking with my wife before you come in town to talk about me in my underwear? And he said, who? And I said, Tina. And he said, the new girl? I have had you much longer than she has. That's living weird. That's being in love. That's having fun. That's the life of godliness. But I want to offer to you that you cannot live weird if you do not have Jesus. You cannot separate yourself from the things that he made if you do not have the maker in your soul. I want to invite you to consider the weirdness of who you are and enjoying it. I would like for you to consider the wonder of who you are and enjoying that. And I would like you to give all the credit for the wonder and the greatness of who you are to the one who made you. Thank you.